CJMQ 88.9 FM, I'm Maureen Dillon Teasdale, and today we have Jerry Cutting in the booth with us, and Jerry is the president of Townshippers Association, so welcome, Jerry.
Well, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to stop by.
It's always a pleasure to have you here. Now, you have quite a few things you want to talk about today.
Yes. If we could begin with Townshippers Day. I know Townshippers Day has been one of those major issues that has been under review for the past year. And now we have something that is actually going to be happening this fall. So that if you're looking for something to fill your 29th of September day, here's what it ought to be. Townshippers Festival in Richmond at the Regional High School. And what we are hoping to do is put a new twist onto Townshippers Day. By calling it Townshippers Festival, what we're looking at is creating an opportunity where anybody and everybody that wants to be a Townshipper for one day, come on down to Richmond on the 29th, and you can genuinely be a Townshipper. It's a bit like what happens every St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick's Day, anybody can put on something green and be an Irish person for that day. And what we're looking at then is how do we combine what was the expectation for Townshippers Day that I would say about 50% of the population that shows up want to do. They want to come to a place where they can meet on, sometimes it's just a yearly basis, their friends, people that they've known over the years, and they come together in a place where they can genuinely find out, okay, what's been happening in terms of individuals, programs, services, and to celebrate being a Townshipper, you know, lots of good music, lots of entertainment, great food, and also all kinds of information. So if we combine that with something whereby people are saying, well, we need something new, something different. By doing that, we hope to do is bring in something else, other factors that can, again, help to enhance the whole concept of the day and provide something for everybody. And because we have two other partners now, we feel very confident that we'll be able to do that. We have partnered up with the Eastern Township School Board, and we've partnered up with the Regional Health Board, in effect, it's the Centre Intégré Universitaire Santé et Services Sociaux. Whew, that's quite a mouthful, I know.
It is, yeah.
But basically, it's the board that has integrated all of the health delivery institutions in the historical Eastern Townships, from Megantic to Asbestos to Cowansville, Granby, all the way down into Sherbrooke, Magog, and Quantico. And I think their partnership is very interesting because there's a lot of people who show up at Townshippers Day because they want English information about health services. They want English information about employment services. And that's a place where they go to get information in English. And also to look at what were the two top priorities in the survey that Townshippers did a couple of years ago. What do Townshippers want? Well, their expression was very clear. We want access to health services, and we want to make sure that our young people have access to education. So by partnering up then with the two major partners in those areas, I think we ought to be able to deliver something that will meet the expectations and the needs of the Townshippers in general, and at the same time, extend out a hand to people who are from the French community. Come on over, spend some time with us, and find out more about the English community. And I think this again, could be a very positive aspect for everyone. And even in terms of looking at this whole idea of Townshippers Festival, Townshippers Day, kind of like a homecoming. Those of you who are football fans know exactly what I mean. Homecoming is that you come back to the school you graduated from, you have a great day and watch a great game, meet your old friends, exchange ideas, have that kind of connection that can be possible one day of the year. So it's coming. So I would invite everyone to think about it. And because we haven't been to Richmond in a very long time, I think this is an excellent opportunity, because once you come to the school, you're also in a community which has all kinds of things to offer and a lot of history, a lot of very interesting places and people to meet. So that's one of the big pieces of information that I like to get out to everyone about. What's happening this fall? Yes, indeed. There will be a celebration of being a townshipper.
Okay, Townshippers Festival. I like that. So September 29th, everybody should write that on their calendar.
Oh, they certainly should. And we'll keep reminding people mm-hmm. of that. It's important, I think, for people to now expect again that there's going to be something. And we have an agreement with our partners that we're going to do something for at least the next 3 years together.
That's great news.
So anyway, glad I could deliver that.
We're really happy about that. Really exciting and great place to get information too, as you were saying.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And another big issue that has been ongoing for the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. When Bill 10 was passed, and for those of you who don't know or can't really identify what was Bill 10, Bill 10 was the bill whereby health institutions were integrated into very large administrative structures. And that's what we have in our own area now. And at the same time, access committees for services in the English language were suspended. And they have not been operational now. It's going on into its fourth year. These committees are really, really crucial. There's a provincial committee, and in each region, there's a regional committee. These are the groups that write essentially the rules whereby English health services will be and must be accessible to the English-speaking population. So what in practical terms then, what this means is that those committees will become operational again. They will specify what are the services that you can anticipate as a recipient of health services when you walk in the door of any of the institutions in the townships. Now, the first one of these committees to be established will be the provincial committee, and it'll be an umbrella group that'll set pretty much the tone. And what is really, really interesting here is that after, I would say, a couple of years of really hard work, working with the Quebec Community Groups Network and the Townshippers Association, we've been able to move the government to the point where it said, this committee that serves the English community should be composed of English-speaking people or people who are chosen by the English community. In the past, most of the people were chosen by the Ministry of Health. This is a major breakthrough, but comes with a cost, of course, and it's this. We've got to actually now get out and get people onto this board. We're going to have, it's an 11-person board, and we're going to have one person from the townships. So that person is going to represent us in writing the rules and regulations. Then at the local level, there will be another committee set up, probably not until the fall. But this, again, will be composed of people named, or I shouldn't say named, but proposed by the English communities. And nobody can even be considered to sit on this unless there is an English community group that has proposed their name or put their name forward. Again, this is a major breakthrough. What it means, in effect, then, is that the English community can take charge of how services are going to actually be delivered in a very concrete way. It comes, I say it's a cost, because it's a huge responsibility now for us to do it. And what we've got to be able to do then is guarantee that we get people out and on these committees so that they can, in fact, reflect the needs and the aspirations of our community. It is something that I think many, many people who are listening perhaps encountered, is that you go into a hospital, you go into see a doctor, or you go into an emergency, and you start off in English. And what happens is that the person who is dealing with you either says, oh, I'm sorry, I don't speak English. And maybe they'll go and find someone for you. Or in certain instances that we've had to follow up, people were told, ici on parle français. So basically what we need to have is that the rules be made clear, and that on the floor, then if you're entitled to have English services, that in fact the institutions then have not just a moral duty, but a constitutional requirement to provide them.
Okay, that's
big,
a huge...
This is a big, big breakthrough,
of course.
It is,
a huge breakthrough, a big change.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. And I don't expect it's going to happen, overnight. Mm-hmm. But the first thing we have to be able to identify is, yes, indeed, English services are required. They're even required under Bill 101. This is something I think that many people don't understand. Bill 101 was set up in such a way that English services are definitely required and permitted. And over the years, what I think has happened is that it's been automatically assumed that, no, we can't do it in English. And there's certain restrictions that have been called into play that have excluded English services. So this is the opportunity to get all of that cleared up, get it all spelled out, and then move towards the stages of implementation. What is really also tremendously interesting here is that the hospital board is a solid partner in it. They really are committed to making this happen. And that, I think, again, is going to make things a lot easier for the English-speaking population. And I know particularly for those people who find it difficult to go in and talk about, well, where does it hurt? If you are really suffering and you're mm-hmm. in pain and a great deal of discomfort, I think one of the former premiers, Mr. Bouchard, pointed out, when you need a blood test, it's not time for a language test. Mm-hmm. This is really an opportunity to help move that agenda along on behalf of our community.
Okay, well, that's huge news, like you said. Yeah, great news, very positive.
Well, and I have to say it took a lot of hard work. Mm-hmm. And we owe a deep debt of gratitude, I think, to one person who was the point man on all of this, Eric Meldoff, with QCGN, and also is someone who has had for a place in Sutton for the last 30 years with his family, and strongly, strongly identifies with the townships. Mm-hmm. So, we can take every bit of goodwill that we can possibly get and put it to good use.
Good. We certainly can. That's excellent news. Okay, so now with that, you're just looking, we have to find the right people, I guess.
That's mm-hmm. what we have to do. Mm-hmm. And in that, I'm going to pretend that I'm going fishing. Mm-hmm. I'm casting out a line. And what I want to catch here is I want to catch people's attention and also put something that we need to do for our own self-interest. We have to rise to the bait now. We have been made an offer. Come out and represent yourselves. So if there are people out there that would be interested, if there are people out there that think, I think I have something to offer here, then this is an opportunity. We need to, especially when we go to the local regional committees, we're going to have to put forward several names. And so if you know someone, if you yourself are interested, contact the townshipers or contact one of the other English community groups like the Women's Center or Mental Health is City. And there are numerous English-speaking organizations out there that can put forward names. And this, I think, is going to be crucial. So amongst yourselves, I'd start thinking about it. It's something that we'll need to do. And we need to, in that sense, you know, start thinking about, okay, whose arm can you twist do you think would be a really good person to sit on one of these committees? And get them talking about it and thinking about it. So, anyway, I know that for all of the fishermen out there, this past weekend was the first day of fishing, so I use a fishing analogy here. Mm-hmm. It's one of the activities that a lot of townshipers identify with.
It is, and it's a good analogy, too. Good. Okay, so that's something for everybody to think about.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And on another level, this is something, again, it's very, very crucial. Mm-hmm. In terms of being able to really do the kinds of work that townshipers wants to do. With the establishment of the Ministry for English Affairs, now they have a budget. And in terms of the priorities, what I think we are absolutely grateful for is that there's a targeted group of English-speaking people. Rural English-speaking people. And maybe you're saying, well, gosh, I'm not a rural person. I live right here in Lennoxville, Sherbrooke, or Magog. Well, the reality is that the way in which the province is divided up, we have two large metropolitan areas. Well, one certainly metropolitan, and Quebec City is our so-called national capital, but these are large urban centers. If you're not in one of those two, then you are considered to be in a, quote, region. So what it means then is that if you're in the Gaspé, if you're on the North Shore, if you're in the townships, if you're in the Gatineau, there's going to be money accessible for specific kinds of projects. The onus then is on the organizations that represent these various regions to get as many of those projects formulated and deposit them with the Ministry for English Affairs. And one of the really, really interesting projects that we've just received confirmation for is to move ahead with a program that deals specifically with young nurses who are graduating from their program in the English sector. And we know that for them to get jobs, first of all, they have to spend part of their time while they're doing their in-service, their actual work on the hospital floors, is, for the most part, almost mostly in French. They also have to pass a test in French to be even accepted into the order for nurses. But many of them have experienced trouble, or they have experienced trouble when they do get a job, because the kind of French that they've learned has been essentially the kind that takes place not on the job floor, but more in a classroom setting. This will be an opportunity to give a boost to the linguistic skills of this young population to make them more employable. Employability, I think, is a major, major concern for all of us in the townships, because we know, how do you keep youngsters down on the farm? Well, there aren't too many working on the farm anymore, but there are many jobs. A lot of them are in areas like health, and they have to have enough French competence to be able to hold those jobs down. So this is a way in which we can work with. And here again, our partner is the local health board. And in that sense, I think we have a really good, solid partner that recognizes two problems with one solution. How do you get more people working on the floor who can actually deliver services in English? Hire more English people. It's the obvious solution.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you make sure then that they have enough French so that there's no question about they being able to deliver in the French language services at the same time? So this is a great project. We think it's one that can certainly help us move ahead tremendously, because youth employment partnered with the health sector, it seems like a winning formula to us anyway.
It does. It certainly does. Mm-hmm.
And it's also being done in collaboration with McGill University, who are, in fact, a major player in terms of health service in the regions already. So we know that solid partnerships produce excellent results. And what we've also heard coming through from the minister responsible for the official languages at the federal level, Madame Joly, is that she also is making available funds for, quote, the rural second language populations, the French-speaking people outside of Quebec, English-speaking people inside Quebec. And again, by moving the focus to those people who are often in situations where we're so scattered all over and in small pockets of English-speaking people here and then scattered over there, that this will provide, again, I think, much-needed financial backing to put together projects that can help benefit these people, us in particular, in the way in which we can organize ourselves for services. And what we have to keep in mind, I think, is that when you have both a provincial government and a federal government, finally, and I emphasize that word, finally, after years of representation on the part of townshipers and other rural organizations, I've come to realize that delivering services in a rural context, whether you be French or English, has challenges. Receiving services in the English language is a huge problem, especially in certain areas like mental health. So I'm optimistic here that by doing what we have been doing now for the last few years, and that is making partnerships, constant representation with valid facts. We work from a results-based model where you have to have good data. You just can't come in and, well, give it to us. We have to come in and say, if you want to solve some of these problems, if you want to solve the problem of unemployment in the English community, which is higher than in the French community, if you want to solve the problem of dropout, which is higher than in the French system, if you want to solve the problem of outward migration and losing people to other provinces, here's how we can do it. And that's what I think has made townshipers, I think, very successful in recent years, is that we've come with solutions to the existing problems that are well documented now. So I think we're looking forward to a very exciting time and a very exciting fall, and with things that are coming in, and more than likely everyone is now very much familiar with an article that appeared in the Record whereby supposedly we're moving.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what we have here is a situation that is in need of perhaps some explanation, is that the school board has initiated a major study of the building where it's probably where the bulk of the English language organizations are now housed, on Queen Street in the Margaret Knapp building. It's an older building, and it's one in need of major repairs. So at one time, it looked like we were all going to be thinking about moving out in a relatively short period of time. There is a very comprehensive study that's ongoing that leads us to believe that we will in fact be able to stay at least another year, and maybe we can find additional funding to permit some much needed renovations to that building. And we were quite concerned from a financial perspective, and let me explain what I mean there. We have some new money coming in. If we looked at what it would mean to move, the cost would have gobbled up all of that new funding just to find accommodations. As that we are extremely lucky to be able to have something that is that affordable for us through the school board. And I think the school board has been enormously generous to us over the years. But now we're at that point where we can't go on being in the building unless we know exactly what is going to happen to it and how much it's going to cost and whether or not it's going to be something that in the long run will be as workable as we can possibly make it. But at the same time, we have to recognize it's possible we will have to move. And that's something that it's not on the agenda for the fall. Unless we have, you know, some sort of major disaster whereby the roof caves in or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we find, you know, it's unfortunate that we probably, as a grouping of English Community Services, if we have to move, it's very unlikely that we'll be able to all stay together. But that's something I think that we really appreciated it during the time that we had.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Okay. Well, that's definitely a good thing to know. You won't be moving in the fall unless there's major problems. So
yes.
That's good.
And there are other issues, I think, too, that we want to start thinking about. Mm-hmm. Looking at, in terms of the openings that we see now, where we can present projects and concerns on behalf of the rural speaking community, we have to start thinking in very positive terms now about how can we influence the kinds and numbers of programs that will be available at both the secondary and college level, SACEP level, for English speaking students. Often, there isn't a critical mass that can justify a program. And in terms then of looking at funding, I think what we have to also start to think about from the point of view of a community organization is that we need perhaps now to start looking at ways and means whereby we can bring forward these very genuine concerns that have been lying around, I think, for quite some time now, is that why is it if you're an English-speaking young person or an adult that you may even have to leave the region in order to get the training that you're looking for? We need to find ways and means, and if there is now a Ministry for English Affairs, it's time, I think, for we as a community to start saying, in concrete, reasonable terms, we need to have more programs here. We need to make sure that our young people are not deprived of the same kinds of training opportunities that if they were in another area, they would have. And I think in terms of just the question of social justice here and investing in our community, this is something that we need to start bringing more to the front burner and talking about. We've been so successful up until now in looking at how we move things along with gaining recognition for taking more responsibility for our own health care. Now we need to look at how do we get things going that we can help bring to the board. And we have to look at Champlain in a very real sense is the only English-speaking college that is not in an urban area. There's a little pavilion for English-speaking people in the Gaspé, but it's not a full college. So, again, this is, if you look at the number of English language institutions that we have left, then this has to be, I think, in a very real sense, then something else we've got to look at. We need more college-level technical programs available to our community. So mm-hmm. we're going to start that conversation with the ministry, too.
Oh, good. Well, that's good news because it definitely is something that's needed.
And what's ongoing is this experimental project that we're doing with the Gaspé, mm-hmm. working with the Centre d'emploi mm-hmm. jeunesse. Mm-hmm. And I've mentioned this before, but it's something that's very, very important. What we've discovered is that often people working in these centers that are receiving young people and helping them identify work opportunities, that they've said, well, no English-speaking people come. Well, what we have to do then is make these services known, and then when the English-speaking person walks in, then to have, in fact, services available to them. So it's a two-front approach to try and see what we can do with already existing mm-hmm. services and institutions that, again, can help many more young people stay and prosper in our own backyard. Mm-hmm. So this one is going ahead. And if we can put together something that is really solid, it will be exported to all of the other regions of the promise. So again, it's really, I think, something we can be proud of, is that we're right out there. We're one of the two groups that are doing this with the Gaspé and ourselves. So I'm very optimistic that we're going to do something interesting there.
Good, good. So, you certainly have been working hard.
Well, you know, I have to give so much in the way of compliments and support mm-hmm. to the great staff. And they're people that work really, really hard. And in a real way, if you look at the number of hours many of these people put in, mm-hmm. it's way above and beyond what they get paid for. And I think this, again, is something that is so essential to the English community. It's our sense of volunteerism, our commitment to doing something that is on behalf of people, not just to get something back. Mm-hmm. And I think anyone who participates in a volunteer capacity ends up feeling that, you know, their cup has been filled. And it's not with money. It's a sense that when you do something for someone else, when you do something for another group, and you see something come out of it, it's very, very rewarding. So I'm propping myself up, and I'm saying to all of the people that are listening, one of the things that you can do that's very, very rewarding is get out and be a volunteer. We need volunteers in so many areas. And that's one of those things that I think Townshipers has been able to cultivate, is that coming out and helping ourselves help each other. And so, you know, between what we do on a volunteer basis and what we do as part of our mission and part of what we're funded to do, we've got a very exciting fall and a very exciting year ahead of us. What may produce some even, you know, surprises that we'll have to deal with is there is an election coming up mm-hmm. in the fall. And I think we should start talking about it right now. We as Townshipers are nonpartisan. We don't support any one party and we don't talk against any one party. But we do ask all of the parties some basic questions. What are you going to do for the English-speaking community? What are you going to do to address the following issues? Employment, health, education. And I think that's incumbent upon all of us. A question costs absolutely nothing. And if anyone wants your vote or my vote, well, my attitude, and I think it's something that everyone ought to have as an attitude, well, by gosh, you're going to have to earn it. You're going to have to tell me something about what your party is going to do for us. And I think that's something that is really important in a democracy. And so I'm inviting everybody, hey, get prepared, you know. Let's ask those guys. They want to represent us. Well, okay, What are they going to do for us?
Mm-hmm.
And if we have a change in government, then we'll have to reconnect, and we'll be ready, willing, and able to do that, whoever wins the election. But what we're going to come after the government on time and time again is our mission. Our mission is to make sure the English-speaking people gets its fair share. And I think, you know, we probably can't, for today, go too much further than, you know, extend that invitation. It's in a very real sense, hopefully, springtime, and things are blossoming and things are blooming. Well, not quite yet, but hopefully in a couple of days. So let's make the most of all of these opportunities that are being presented to us.
Well, thank you very much, Jerry, and certainly a lot to think about, some really positive things coming up from Townshippers.
Well, thanks for having me, and I wish a happy spring to all of your listeners.
Okay, well, thanks for being here.